Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm FPL Harry.
Hey Harry, this is Press.
Well, game week 33, what feels like one of the biggest game weeks of the season, is almost over, but it feels like we have some of the biggest games of our seasons left to play. So just as a bit of a timestamp, we are recording before Manchester City play Aston Villa tonight. And of course, Arsenal play against Crystal Palace as part of the double game week in game week 33. And like me, you had a chip active, a different chip active, but for a lot of people listening, this was the week that we'd all planned to play one of our chips. And there were almost 2 million managers with a chip active this week. 760,000 played their bench boost, almost 300,000 had their free hit, almost 300,000 with the triple captain, and almost 750,000 had the assistant manager still to play at some point over the past 3 weeks. So we'll have a look at our scores briefly. Let me know how your game week has gone. But of course, there is still so much football to play.
Yeah, and it was interesting indeed. Like, before the game week started, I was thinking, you know, so many chips in play. And actually, like you said, unusually so, everybody had, you know, different variations of chips active. So you had assistant manager, I had bench boost. I saw lots of people with triple captaincy. Hasn't worked out so far. I don't think, apart from assistant manager Arteta, which of course Harry's on, anything has worked out so far. So we will see. Most of the times when it's a double game week, it's really about the other games, right? Because your doublers haven't doubled yet. But interesting indeed. How's your season going, Harry?
Yeah, season's going well, particularly over the past few weeks with the assistant manager. I had to look enviously while everyone else played it a few months ago now, and to finally get the points in the bag that I feel like everyone got a while ago to push me into the top 10K feels good. I am just on your tail. We can't get away without you plugging your rank as well, though.
Well, I've been sort of between 5 to 10K for the last 6-7 weeks. So it's almost been like push a little and then lose in a couple of weeks. But look, can't complain. I think both of us are having good seasons. And I would also say this is the first time we're podding together. So some of you know Harry through his channel. Some of you know me through the FPL Wire. So it's a nice little collab. So good to actually have a final, or for the first time, have a chat with you and pod with you.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we've spoken enough. And then when you filled in this morning, I was like, oh, this must be the first time we've actually ever spoken on something like this about FPL. So it's going to be good. So we'll leave our scores for now, given there are still two massive games to go. And most of us have got, you know, 8, 9, 10 players still to play, plus our captains to go. So we'll dive into the games and we'll dive into what felt like one of the big games of the weekend. One of the big captaincy debates of the season was Marmoush the favourable option? We'll talk about some of the options later on. Manchester City left it late. They got there in the end, but most of the popular FPL assets didn't really come away with anything apart from those of us who have gone on with Gvardiol, if you've gone on with Ortega, if you've gone in with one of the other defenders as well. Defensively, I feel like this season, I found it really difficult to predict clean sheets, and I found defenders really difficult to predict. This feels like the only week where I've actually had quite a few clean sheets to show for it, and Manchester City were one of them. What did you make of this? Because we've seen Gvardiol playing sadly at centre back over the past few weeks, right? I bought him for the doubles. I bought him because he's this marauding left back. He's getting me clean sheet points, but actually the left back where we want him to play in O'Reilly is the one scoring and playing really well. Sadly, he's a midfielder in FPL though.
And to rub salt into the wounds, Pep, even after the game, basically, he goes, you know, when Gvardiol used to play left back, he scored a lot of goals. And now Nico is our left back and he will score a lot of goals. So thanks, Pep, for that. But it is one of those things, right? I mean, a couple of things here. So first, people had given up on Man City's clean sheet potential. And here they are, you know, clean sheet after clean sheet since people loaded up on them on wildcard. So Gvardiol still has worked out okay. Is he worth that price? Well, who cares, right? In a world where Haaland isn't an option, Palmer is not performing. We'll talk about those guys, but it's fine. I think Guardiola is good. Some people have doubled up in defense as well. So I think Man City have gone back to, in this game, I felt a little bit like the Manchester Derby game, where it was more control. It was not losing possession and not basically getting caught out on the counter, which Everton loved to do under Moyes. So that's where we are. I think De Bruyne, a lot of people went for De Bruyne. I had De Bruyne in my team. You know, they had this false nine format in the previous game where he did so well against Crystal Palace. They didn't really go with that this game. So it was Marmoush as the forward, which they normally have. And then Savinho, Bernardo Silva and De Bruyne, basically the three behind. So did it work out? Not really, but it was Everton. Everton have given everyone a tough game. So yeah. I feel like it was one of those you go again and see how they do tonight.
Yeah, I actually have Phil Foden in my squad, but I actually benched him for the double, which feels really strange to bench a player with a double. But just coming back from the injury that he picked up a few weeks ago against Manchester United, his minutes aren't secure. And I feel like people with Savinho will have very similar sort of regrets on maybe their Manchester City midfielder. It was just, I suppose, for those of us who didn't find a way to go to someone like a Kevin De Bruyne, to not see him punish us yet, of course, across the double was quite nice. But Savinho was put out on the left wing in this game. He definitely didn't feel like it fit him nearly as well as when we've seen him play on the right. I think when a lot of us played our wild card and they had Leicester at home and he played out on that right wing, I thought he had a fantastic game. And that felt like it was going to be his spot. It was going to be where he was going to play and he was going to profit a lot from an FPL point of view from that position. But he's seen himself on the bench the past couple of games. He's come back in and played on the left wing instead of Doku, who came on and played really well in that position as well. So there's a lot of still Pep team sheet roulette going on when we see the Aston Villa lineup this evening, to see where, if you have Savinho, if he starts, but also what position these guys are playing in as well.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, this is going to be a theme in this episode and episodes going forward. The league is in a state where not a lot of teams have motivations, but Man City are not one of those, because Champions League is tight. Last night, Nottingham Forest won. We'll talk about them. And so between them, Villa, Chelsea, you know, it is sort of heating up for that fifth position or the fourth, fifth position. So, and Newcastle as well, I should add. So it's going to be interesting. And these are the teams that we can consistently at least back.
Yeah.
But, you know, Man City don't really have a third pick. People have tried to force it, like you mentioned, with Savinho, with De Bruyne, with Foden, even a double defense. We'll see which one wins out. But I think for the moment, I think people on De Bruyne, people on double defense, I think those are the ones that are slightly okay. We'll see if De Bruyne does anything tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking for Phil Foden replacements over the next few weeks. Of course, myself and you, with a lot of us, are planning on playing our free hits in game week 34. We'll leave too much of the discussion on that for the main pod on Thursday, but I won't be needing to deal with that problem until we get to the other side of that. So I can just leave him, sadly, probably dropping in price a few times between now and then I can review it when we get to game week 35. One of the other, probably the big Champions League race match of the weekend came at 5:30 on Saturday, with Villa taking on Newcastle in a result that I just didn't see coming. I thought Newcastle had been absolutely fantastic recently. Villa had just played in Europe, sadly being knocked out of the Champions League for them. There was a little bit of, you know, who's going to start for them. And just Newcastle had looked absolutely fantastic across the double in game week 32, where we'd all owned them for. And then Villa come in and beat them 4-1 and just feel like they just hit the ground running, and Newcastle didn't even have a chance to get in the game. Ollie Watkins, we didn't know whether he was going to start. He looked like he was out of favour. Sounds like he spoke to Unai Emery and said, I want to play. Why am I not playing? I feel like I should be in there, and had a chat with him, and he's back in. And it was one of the best performances I'd seen from Ollie Watkins probably this season. And Fabian Scher and some of those Newcastle defenders who've been great just absolutely struggled to deal with them, right?
Yeah, it's a bit, I mean, Villa have been difficult this season in general, right? I mean, apart from Rodgers, there hasn't been a pick consistently starting. I mean, Tielemans, yes, but less for an FPL point of view. So yeah, I mean, if we knew Watkins is starting, I think a lot of people would have considered Isak to Watkins. A lot of us got cold feet because, you know, Rashford started both the PSG legs. And more importantly, the middle game against Southampton, even that Rashford started. So it's, you know, Emery completely threw us off the scent, and none of us went for Ollie Watkins. If you did, congratulations. He had a great game. And they actually, Villa, you know, deserved more goals. Asensio hit the post, McGinn hit the post, Rodgers hit the post. They all had good chances. So it was an unpredictable game. But as I said, as a theme for this podcast, there are going to be a lot of unpredictable games this year. Even though these teams are all fighting for the Champions League, it was just one of those games where you didn't see it coming, like you said.
Yeah, Villa do feel like a team with still quite a lot to play for, of course, out of Europe now, still in the FA Cup to play this weekend, but with four games to go after the blank in game week 34 of Fulham, Bournemouth, Spurs and Man United, still feels like they are absolutely in the hunt for Champions League. So if you had your time again, would you start to consider Watkins? Do you feel like Morgan Rodgers is just the safest? And the issue is we all buy into their defense because we see them with a double, and we all love a double despite what defensive data for the team might look like and what the actual output for someone like an Ezri Konsa might look like. But it doesn't stop me buying him. It doesn't stop a lot of us buying him, and we play the fixtures, but I'm happy to have him. I'm happy to have Rodgers. I do wish I had done that Isak to Watkins move in hindsight.
Yeah, I'm completely with you, and we had similar decisions to make at the time. I don't regret it. I think we played the hand that was sort of dealt. What I would say on Villa is, look, they will obviously have an eye on the FA Cup semi-final. That's huge for them. That's a chance for a trophy. And it'll also have big implications on what we see going forward, because the winner could potentially have a future double game week because the final clashes with game week 37. So we will see. We don't know where that fits, but it does have implications in the future. I don't see much rotation tonight or, you know, even for Palace tomorrow, because I feel, you know, those teams have, you know, they will have one eye on the FA Cup. But when we talk about it, the league is still important, especially for Villa. I think the team that we should spend a little bit of time on is Newcastle. So like you said, they have been inconsistent, but a lot of people are looking to still load up on them on free hits in game week 34, because they have that very juicy home fixture against Ipswich. Yeah. And also, you know, people who are not on free hit will want to continue to keep them. So your thoughts on, I guess people will want Isak, but who else?
Yeah, I feel like this is, Newcastle feel like one of the teams where I could name 8-9 players in their starting 11 that you could realistically pick, and particularly on a free hit this week. I think there'll be a lot of appeal for Isak, and I think he's one that will just go in. So I don't think we need to discuss too much of that about that. You can then have a look at basically all of the attackers. The issue is you've got Harvey Barnes, who's been playing fantastically recently, but generally he's not considered their first choice front three. He might be now. You've got Jacob Murphy, and of course you've got Anthony Gordon as well. If they'd have won this game comfortably, you would expect that they line up with a very similar team as they had done in the double, Barnes and Murphy and Isak as their front three. But when you come off a result like this, you do wonder if they'll start to change things, and maybe Anthony Gordon will find his way back into the lineup. Will that be in the place of Harvey Barnes and go out to his natural left wing, or will it come in for Jacob Murphy and where they've played with a couple of them before? So it does feel like this fixture screams a lot of goals and one that we can really look to target going forward. But it does feel like all of those picks come with a slight bit of risk. I do think it's hard for him to drop Harvey Barnes, though, looking at how he's played over the past few weeks.
Yeah, I think you make a good case. And I think it's very hard for us to sit here and predict this because, A, Eddie Howe is not going to tell us. He's not going to tell us how well advanced Anthony Gordon is, or, you know, what he's thinking in terms of his lineup for Ipswich. And second thing is just general fitness, right? I mean, we don't know how bad the injury was for Gordon. He's getting some minutes, but he's still not starting. So I think it muddies all three in terms of picks. You know, Murphy should be okay. He started every game since game week 13, but he's, again, probably going to get 60 to 70 minutes. So depends if you want to go for that. But these are the picks, right? I mean, I'm still tempted by their defense, despite them shipping all these goals. At home, they're still solid. And I have this nostalgia with Trippier, which I can't get rid of. And, you know, even though he's not on all the set pieces anymore, he's still a good FPL pick with the volume of crosses that he puts in.
Yeah, I have that sort of nostalgia pick with Fabian Scher. I feel like he's the one, if I'm going to pick one of those Newcastle defenders to come up with a 15-pointer, feels like Fabian Scher has got that long-range shot or the goal from a corner in his locker. And he's actually hauled twice over the past 4 weeks as well. This is why it feels quite nice. And again, we don't want to dwell too much on those on free hit, as we're aware that not everyone will be playing it this week. But there are so many different picks, and it doesn't feel like in previous weeks where we've looked to play the free hit that we've been narrowed down to maybe 15 players and we're picking 11 out of that possible 15 that we could choose from. It feels like there is an absolute abundance of picks, for example, which is, you know, we want triple Newcastle, but Isak, you've got Barnes, you've got Murphy, you've got Gordon, you've got all the defenders. You could look at Nick Pope in goal. There is a real way that you can differentiate your team this week if you're looking to chase. And even if you're not, it's not going to be that easy to maybe protect because of quite how different some of those teams are. If I had to pick a defender, I think that it would be Fabian Scher, just because of what I know he's capable of doing.
Interesting. Let's move to Ipswich Arsenal. So one of those games which, you know, again, motivations for Arsenal, people would question, you know, how much they will be interested in, you know, scoring goals, or will they protect their players? They put out a pretty much a full strength team.
Yeah.
And here's the stat. There was only one player out of the 11 that started that didn't get an FPL return. Everybody else either got an assist or a goal or a clean sheet. And it turns out to be Bukayo Saka.
Bukayo Saka. And not only no return, taken off just before the 60th minute. So no second appearance point and no clean sheet as well. I'll throw some stats back at you. He was the second biggest XGI underperformer in the entire game week. yeah, just the amount of data that he's putting up, 1.39 expected goal of moments this week across just 57 minutes. If you predicted that he would start, I wasn't one of those. I didn't think he'd be fully raced back given they have Madrid, given they have a Champions League semi-final coming up as well. But yeah, he looks fully back, Bukayo Saka. He looks like a player I don't want to go without at the moment.
Absolutely. And I think, look, Arsenal will manage minutes because, you know, they have the Champions League and pretty much this will, you know, the league should be wrapped up this weekend. And so after that, you know, even more so, Arsenal will look to rotate. But I think Saka is a good pick regardless, because you also have to look at opportunity cost. Who else, if you don't have Saka, who else are you going for? We'll talk about Chelsea. We'll talk about other picks like Liverpool. So I think Saka is a good play. And I think if you're on captaincy, even if you just owned him, it was just very, very unlucky. And these things happen in FPL.
It does feel like we're going to have slight bits of those Arsenal risks going forward, though. Game week 35, they play Bournemouth at home, which comes right in between their two Champions League semi-finals against PSG. And then in game week 36, they go away to Liverpool. So I suppose the question is, we've all invested now for the double. Those of who went on Kivior, on Saliba, on Raya are probably the ones winning at the moment, unless you took a punt on someone like a Leandro Trossard, who has been seeing his returns spike over the past few weeks. If you hadn't have invested now, where do you think you'd be looking?
I think it'll be defense, to be honest. Like, no matter what rotation, Arsenal will continue to, you know, play the shape that they're used to. They will want to stay fresh. Arteta, after the game, also talked about, you know, rhythm. And so it's not like he'll put out, you know, kids. So I think you will see some rotation. If you want to play the roulette, and this is the Arteta roulette, then yeah, Trossard looks a good option because he is not in their first team. It looks like it's Moreno, Martinelli and Saka up top. So in the games that are less important, Trossard will get those minutes, and we like that from an FPL point of view. But I think the safe play is pretty much Saliba, Kivior to a lesser extent, and definitely Raya. So I think you still want them. Whether you can sell them, so let's say if you're not on a free hit this week and you're looking to sell them, I think it's okay to sell one. You don't have to have a triple up once a double game week is over. So it's, you know, it's that time of year we have to think about these things which are outside of what our belief system is, that, you know, Arsenal second best in the league. How can we sell their players? Maybe you can think about it a little bit.
Yeah, I think Kivior is a really interesting pick. Of course, he's much cheaper than Saliba. And actually, his underlying bonus points, because there were so many goals, he didn't actually return any. But he was the highest of all the defenders outside of Zinchenko, who, of course, his baseline was higher than Zinchenko, but Zinchenko picking up an assist. So if you don't have the money for Saliba, and if you didn't have it, actually looking at someone like a Kivior, even though he's, you know, as a centre-back, it's slightly less appealing, over going with someone who's maybe slightly more rotation prone, like a Timber, who has been a great pick this season, felt like, looking back at it, looks like a really good pick, and at such a nice price as well. The cheapest way into the Arsenal defence, it feels like we'll have for many, many seasons to come as well.
Absolutely. And I think a quick word on Ipswich, because yes, we're not picking Ipswich players as such, but I think one important point that happened in the game was Leif Davis got a red card. Yes. And so what that meant was Jacob Greaves moved to the left-hand side. That probably, from a matchup perspective, helps Jacob Murphy. So if Leif Davis isn't bombarding forward, then maybe he gets a little bit more joy on that right-hand side. And so you'd think that, you know, one other vote for Murphy if you're into matchups and things like that, because obviously Newcastle host Ipswich.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on and talk about my team and two teams that have, you know, a lot of implications on game week 34. And that is Chelsea versus Fulham, the SW6 derby, as it's known, the two local clubs. It was not the best first half from Chelsea, and to, you know, come into that second half, really claw it back with two late goals, but still nothing for Cole Palmer. I think that's, it feels like a long time since he's had any sort of Premier League goal or assist. He had a few weeks ago, but still really drying up in terms of returns, not looking nearly as confident on the ball. We're seeing similar for Jackson. It feels like if we got to a week where Chelsea had Everton at home and we were on a free hit, we'd be saying, which Chelsea would it be? Is Cole Palmer a captaincy contender? And now it feels like, is he even worth including in it at the moment? And actually, there's a lot of Fulham players going away to Southampton this week. None more than 4.1 million defender Ryan Sessegnon, currently playing right wing at the moment for Marco Silva's side, providing the assist for the Fulham goal. Actually feels like the biggest FPL takeaway from this game is him rather than any of the Chelsea players.
Well, I think both these teams are important for, you know, people on free hit or not on free hit, because, you know, these are two teams with good fixtures in game week 34. So let's break it down. Let's first talk about Chelsea. So look, I think yes, they're not in form, but the motivation is there, right? So the things we've talked about, Chelsea have all to play for. Champions League or no Champions League is going to be so huge for the transfer budget, for the club, the growth. And so I refuse to think that Palmer's not just not going to do anything for the rest of the season. So let's break it down first. For him, he's still on penalties. He's still taking set pieces. What's gone wrong? What's different to last season or first half of this season on him?
So for me, I think it's a little bit of a positioning thing. He's moved with Enzo Fernandez coming into the team. He's playing a lot Enzo on that sort of right 10 side, and he's meaning Palmer's being pushed out to the left-hand side a little bit more, which for someone who's a left-footer, and we've seen a lot of those Palmer goals where he's been in that sort of right 10 pocket, shooting to the far post. He scored an awful lot of goals for us in that position, and he doesn't look nearly as natural in that sort of left 10 role. He doesn't quite know how to shape his body to try and fit himself into that position to try and score, and he's missing a lot of big chances. So if you look at the underlying data, he's getting the chances. So in theory, you're thinking the chances will come, the goals will come. But the issue with it, he doesn't look natural when he's trying to shoot from that point. And actually, I think his link up with Noni Madueke, who plays on that right-hand side, is really good. And his positioning when he's that side does feel like it's a lot better and a lot stronger, whether it's shooting or whether it's crossing it into the back post. So if it continues that way, I do think the returns will be slightly more difficult for Palmer to come by. But I do think that, of course, there's a confidence thing, right? I think a lot of those Chelsea attackers are just struggling. And once that first one goes in, you might feel like there's a little bit of a sigh of relief. But until that happens, it's difficult to see when he's on the ball. He doesn't have that sort of desire to shoot and take chances on that maybe he would have done earlier on in the season. He's passing a lot more.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, I think from a free hit perspective, I know non-free hitters probably will struggle to get to him. I just think it's an opportunity. Like, I know he played recently Southampton at home, Ipswich at home, and Leicester at home. Got one assist out of those. But Everton at home is basically, it's not as easy as the other ones, but it's still a good fixture. So I think I would still back him because I'll be on a free hit, but I can understand people not on a free hit basically having lost faith. So who else from Chelsea? So Cucurella, I like a little bit. Like, he's getting forward a lot. Is he someone you're considering on free hit?
Yeah, Cucurella is actually in my draft at the moment. When you look at the Chelsea positioning, he seems to be the one sort of edge of the box. He's playing in that sort of front line a lot of the time. And we've seen him being our highest goal scoring defender for Chelsea so far this season. I really like him as a pick. And again, he's one of those that if you're on free hit, you have a lot of budget going around, right? But if you're not on free hit, he's probably one that you're unlikely to go and get to. So I quite like him for that point of view from a differential. We have controlled games quite well. The goals conceded over the past few weeks has been a little bit less. Yes, we conceded to Fulham here, but I do think he's one of those defenders this week. Of course, you know, Everton don't have Tarkowski available for this game as well. So there is that sort of added threat through the middle for Chelsea that Palmer and maybe Cucurella could look to exploit. So those are the two that I think are worth considering from Chelsea this week.
Yeah, and those not on free hit, I think if you're holding on to a Enzo Fernandez or any other defender, even Sanchez, I think it's okay. And I think it's a good fixture or good enough fixture for you to hold through the blank. So let's talk about Fulham then. So you talked about Sessegnon. Now, it's complicated with him. So let's just spend a second with him.
Yeah,
he's been playing right wing, so out of position, while Wilson has been out.
Yeah,
and Tete has now also come back for Castagna playing right-handed defender. So that right wing has basically completely changed with Tete and Sessegnon playing on the right. Sessegnon has been one of their better attackers. He had, I think, the most successful passes, and he provided the assist for Iwobi. He's been involved in attacking returns throughout, you know, while he's been playing. So a couple of complications. Wilson was back on the bench in the previous game.
Yeah.
Second complication, you get these match alerts. So a couple of websites basically mentioned that he walked off with a limp. So we don't know if he was taken off, you know, because of an injury or if he was just taken off because Wilson is back and he wanted to give him minutes anyway. And there's a third complication actually to add to this. There was one game, two game weeks ago, when he was taken off on the 58th minute, which later was revealed that it was an accidental substitution. Robinson was the one who was supposed to be taken off. So there's a lot of complication with Sessegnon, but he's still very appealing, right?
He feels like one of those that if the complications fall the right way, he could be the highest scoring defender going into this double. Southampton away is a nice fixture. He's playing as part of that front three. He's had four returns in his past five games. I'm just counting them. So really getting forward. Fulham do like to score goals, but you do have that added complication that if he doesn't start, you're going to really regret going there. That's the only issue.
Yeah.
The other one that I really like, sorry, go on.
No, I was saying, and he will cameo as well if he doesn't start, yeah, because Wilson won't play all the minutes.
So maybe you just go safer with this season's pick in defense with Anthony Robinson on the left-hand side, who is more than capable of getting his attacking returns on that side as well. Or you could go with Leno in goal if you don't quite fancy the risk that, that Sessegnon provides.
Yep. And I think one other pick from Fulham, because Muniz was injured in this game and later revealed that he was indeed injured. He got a tackle in the game against Bournemouth. Raul Jimenez becomes a decent pick as well because he should get 80 plus minutes. He played 85 minutes in this game against Southampton, and you want your strikers to play Southampton. So that's another one that is coming under the radar for free hitters.
Yeah, I really like him. Again, he's in my draft at the moment, currently on my bench because I'm playing five midfielders, but he's one that I really want to find a way into my starting 11 if we get confirmation that Muniz is going to miss this Southampton game as well.
Indeed, indeed. Let's move on to Liverpool, a team that could be champions by the weekend, or actually even this midweek if Arsenal lose. Let's hope that's not the case and Liverpool get to celebrate their title at home. So they played Leicester. It was looking quite cagey. I mean, they were getting chances, but, you know, we expected a lot more goals and Salah to not blank, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And he was actually, I was looking at it, I was finding captaincy this week quite difficult because you had players like Marmoush and Saka where the minutes weren't certain, the double wasn't great. And I actually just wondered, should I just put it on Salah away at Leicester? And I'm quite glad I didn't. He absolutely had chances in this game, though, right up there in the top three for XGI underperformers again this week, along with Bukayo Saka. So he absolutely had the chances. We saw slight changes to the front line for Liverpool in this game. We saw Cody Gakpo come back in. We saw Luis Diaz in there as well. Diogo Jota dropping to be a substitute. So it does feel like Cody Gakpo, who was a great option earlier on in the season, particularly when Liverpool had their doubles, could be coming back to be a pick at the moment. The real question I want to talk to you about Liverpool is their right back. And Conor Bradley has been playing over the past few weeks. People have bought in for him. He got another clean sheet here. But Trent Alexander-Arnold came back into the squad and came off the bench for him going into this one. Now, as you said, this could be the game that Liverpool seal the title at home in front of their own fans. How do you read into that narrative about whether Trent's ready to go again for Spurs at home and whether he's the pick that we should be going with over someone like a Sessegnon, over someone like a Cucurella on free hit this week?
It's a very difficult one to answer. It's complicated because of a couple of reasons. So number one, you know, obviously we don't know how fit he is. Can he start another game? Slot is usually honest. So if he can start, he will say. If he can't, he will also be a little bit, you know, he will give us those hints. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is there's this whole thing of, is he going to stay? He hasn't signed the contract. So is it going to be the game where they say, okay, he doesn't need to start. We, you know, the new wave of right back Bradley is going to start the game. Or is it going to be, look, when Trent is fit, he starts. I'm of the camp that he's going to start because I just think, you know, they will put out a full strength team. Spurs is a good game. It's not the easiest of games, but from an attacking point of view, it's a good game. And I just think, it's a game where if he's fit enough, he will start. Whether you go there or not is another question. I don't have the answer to that. He's in my free hit team, but on the bench. So I'm a little bit playing, sitting on the fence on him. But I think if, as far as upside defenders go, he showed with his goal that he has that. So if you want to go for that upside, I think Trent provides that better than any other defender this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Outside of that, it feels like if you wanted to go for a second attacker, it probably should be Luis Diaz. Trying to predict whether it's going to be Gakpo or Jota feels a little bit more difficult, whereas Luis Diaz feels slightly more assured for starts at the moment. Any appeal for him? Of course, when you look at a free hit, you're looking at the fixture. Spurs, they let up chances to Nottingham Forest last night, but actually didn't look too bad in parts of that game as well. I do think there'll be chances for Liverpool in this one. Of course, this will be just before Spurs do play in their Europa League semi-final as well. So Luis Diaz is the one that I've got my eye on if I wanted for a double up, but I'm just not quite certain I'm going to have space for him.
I'm very tempted. I'm tempted because of the reasons you mentioned that Spurs have basically said, you know, we're playing for the Europa League as a Man United. We'll talk about them as well. So it's a team where you will see a second string Spurs who've been okay defensively. I think we've sort of overplayed how bad they have been defensively. But look, they're a bottom six team in the Premier League. So Liverpool at home playing a bottom six team who have an eye on a cup game, and Liverpool could be sealing the league title in front of their home fans. Like, this is a good recipe for a lot of goals. And so I want a part of it. But I don't like the fact that I don't know for sure which two of Gakpo, Jota or Diaz start. So it's another one of those which will go down to the wire. I hope I hope we get something, you know, like if Jota's out, then we know Gakpo and Diaz are starting. So we'll see. But at the moment, minutes risk, it's becoming a theme on this free hit, and I don't want too many minutes risks.
Yeah, but it can't let you, it feels like the minutes risk relay to the players who could be really explosive this week. So you've got to find the balance between finding, you know, not going with just players who are going to play 90, but also having some of those on the free hit that might be a little bit explosive. On Liverpool's opponents, Leicester, not too much to talk about, but maybe it's worth talking about their opponents in game week 34 in Wolves. 1-0 winners away at Manchester United, and with a fixture like Leicester at home this week and a few decent fixtures between now and the end of the season, Wolves look like a completely new team under their new manager, and it feels like there was a lot of investment that we could look there. Now, Matheus Cunha, having come back from his suspension, didn't go straight back into the lineup, but we did see him start this game, picking up an assist. I thought played pretty well in this game as well. Strand Larsen didn't get quite as many minutes. It was Pablo Sarabia's goal that came through for Wolves in this game. So if we start with Wolves, and we'll start with their attack, it feels like Leicester at home feels like one of those fixtures we need to look at. Wolves are really impressive over the past few weeks as well, whether Cunha's been playing or not, but it feels like he's back in the team and he's the one to go with.
Yeah, I mean, he ticks all those boxes that we like, right? I mean, he gets one attacking return, even though he was just fouled for a free kick, ends up with three bonus. That's just how Cunha is. So if you're backing him to start, which I think he should be good for, then you're getting a player on set pieces. You know, we saw that corner goal against Man United in the reverse fixture. And so I think he's a good pick, very, very good pick on a free hit. And maybe even for non-free hitters, like you said, their fixtures aren't terrible after. His head might be, you know, he was in the news for, you know, is he going to stay at Wolves or not? And there's a lot of clubs looking at him. But I don't think that matters for a week where, you know, they're playing a really nice fixture. Leicester is as good as it gets. And I also want to have Ait Nouri. Like, they've been playing three at the back. Mm-hmm. So Ait Nouri has been playing left wing back. And, you know, the team that has struggled most in front of goal is pretty much Leicester. Like, Ipswich have been okay in front of goal. Southampton have been also okay. Leicester are the team that have really struggled to score in the previous few games. And I like a Wolves defender. Whether you go for a keeper or not, and there's complications with the keeper, we'll talk about that. But I think Ait Nouri sounds like a good pick.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely one that I've got my eye on. We have history as FPL managers with Ait Nouri over the past, well, this season and in previous seasons as well. Some of it's gone well, some of it hasn't gone quite as well. But when you're presented with Leicester at home, and as you say, Brighton at home, Palace away, Brentford at home, also between now and the end of the season, whether you're not on free hit or not, it does feel like Wolves are ones that you can have a look at. As you say, a little bit of complication with the goalkeepers. Jose Sarr replaced just before kickoff with an injury in the warm-up, where Dan Bentley, only 3.9, came in to start and kept a clean sheet away at Manchester United. Now, at the time of recording, we don't know an update on Jose Sarr, whether he's going to be back available or not. And it feels like on the free hit, you might have to end up owning both if you do want to go there, because we might not be fully certain. But it's one to keep an eye out. If Jose Sarr was ruled out for a few weeks, for example, and you needed a cheap goalkeeper at just 3.9, Bentley could be the one to look at.
Yeah, or you could just go for like a hedge option where you just pick one of those two. If the keeper doesn't play, then you'll have a second keeper. This is, I'm talking to the free hitters, of course. And so it's not the end of the world if you went for like a Sarr in goal, Ait Nouri and Cunha. And then if Sarr doesn't play, you have a backup in like Alisson or somebody like that. So there are options. And why we're fixating on Wolves defense, and more importantly, Leicester attack, is since game week 21, so we're going back 12 game weeks, there have been only two games where they've scored a goal, which is basically against Spurs in game week 23 and against Brighton in game week 32. Every other game, they've not scored a goal. So if you want to back a team to keep a clean sheet against, right now it's Leicester. So that's just one of those things. So I'll definitely have a Wolves defender or a goalkeeper on the free hit.
Yeah. That one of those teams that they'd scored against also conceded a fair number of goals this weekend, and that was Brighton. Brentford 4, Brighton 2. Just when we start to forget about Vissa and Brian and Bermo, they do their best to absolutely put themselves back on our FPL radars. Just as we'd all sold them, looking at double game weeks and blank game weeks, they remind us why they should be in our team so consistently. Brian and Bermo, with two goals and assists, is currently the highest scoring player so far this game week. And maybe it's a reminder that doubles are not quite as appealing always as maybe they could be. And some of these single game week players will, of course, stamp their authority on the game week. But they, of course, have a really nice run between now and the end of the season. They play Forest this week, but then they play Man United, Ipswich, Fulham and Wolves. So whether you're on free hit, and actually maybe for what some of those of you not on free hit, Brentford feel like they should be right top of radar, particularly the two attackers in Vissa and Mbeumo.
I think especially, like you said, the people not on free hit, because their fixtures after are really good. And yeah, I think these are good picks. And at various points in the season, we've all owned them. And at various points in the season, we've been burnt by them because we keep selling them, because it's just one of those things. Their fixture, they had blocks of good fixtures. So whenever you sell them, they still do well, because, you know, Brentford have this style of playing five at the back against tougher teams. And who plays up top? It's always Mbeumo and Wissa. So
yeah,
good picks. They don't rotate. They play pretty much 90 minutes. Mbeumo is on penalties, free kicks. So he's a good pick. I don't think it's anything people don't know about. But yeah, I think the decision for people on free hit will be whether you include one or two of them or none of them. I have none of them at the moment, because away to Forest isn't the easiest, even though I know you'll tell me that their defense has not been that great more recently. But yeah, I think it's a decision for people. I can't fault anyone picking either of these players.
Yeah, it's more also that game. So all the other games in game week 34 are on Saturday and Sunday, and then Nottingham Forest, Brentford isn't till the Thursday. So there is just something quite nice about having a little bit of hope or something to look forward to, even if you don't think they're quite the best picks for a free hit this week. Talking about Brighton, João Pedro, red card. They have West Ham at home this week, which is a fixture that you could look to target. West Ham not being quite as good under Graham Potter as maybe people had hoped to. Maybe start of next season when he's had a little bit more time, we will see that come to the fore a little bit. It does mean, for example, that Danny Welbeck is likely to be playing up front. He's likely to now take penalties with João Pedro being unavailable as well. It feels like going into this week, there was probably enough slight risk or uncertainty about who's playing where, exactly who's going to line up, that they probably wouldn't have been included. But I do feel like that João Pedro red card has meant that Danny Welbeck should absolutely be on radar.
Yeah, I think so. But it's a double-edged sword, right? I mean, you could say Welbeck is now a better pick because he could be on penalties, but then Brighton attack suffers a little bit. No matter what you say about João Pedro, he's still a good engine room. He presses really well. He links up really well. So you lose that a little bit, right? So are they as good? Yes, I think West Ham were terrible over the weekend. So I think, you know, picking a Brighton attacker won't hurt. But at the same time, you know, Welbeck is competing with about four or five other forwards we've talked about on this podcast already. So
yeah,
it's a difficult one, but I don't think Welbeck is a bad shout. Neither is a defender. Like, Brighton defense has been disappointing, but somebody like an Estupiñán, he's starting most games. He takes corners from one side in some games. So it's not a bad pick either. So I think those couple of Brighton picks, they could work out. And if you're not on a free hit, like, again, if that's an option, I think Brighton would be even more appealing because their fixtures are not too bad coming out of the blank as well.
They play, yeah, West Ham, Newcastle, Wolves in the next three. So yeah, absolutely, they can be looked at. The one final game, the Monday night game, Spurs 1, Nottingham Forest 2. Yeah, I mean, I'll mention my nice stats on Nottingham Forest defence. And actually, as someone who's got two Forest defenders, this doesn't make great reading. Over the past 6 weeks, they are 17th for expected goals conceded, only better than the three teams currently in the relegation zone and in Ipswich, Southampton and Leicester as well. So it's not a surprise that Spurs did put up over 2xG in this game. Richarlison right up there, top for XG, top for shots and big chances. It doesn't feel like most of us are going to be looking to invest in Spurs this week, going away to Liverpool and, of course, with the Europa League being their real focus. So let's talk Nottingham Forest. Going up against that Brentford team, investing defensively, again, feels quite difficult. It does feel like we'd more likely expect Brentford to score than not. But let's talk Chris Wood. He's been one of the forwards of this FPL season and actually has been a little bit cold recently with a bit of an injury. Coming back, hadn't scored, but he looked great in this game. Had a goal ruled out for offside and then did put the ball in the back of the net and bonus points to go with it as well. He could be one, instead of going Brian Mbeumo, if you want a player in that Thursday night game, going back to Chris Wood, because all it needs is a goal and he's mopping up bonus points to go with it as well, as we saw with this.
Yeah, I think, again, Chris Wood has shown us all season that when he's fit, he does get involved. As usual, he had one shot, one goal, but that's now become, you know, it's a season-long data now, so we can't hate that. That's just how he plays. He gets that very big chance in the game and he puts it away. So I think Chris Wood is a good option. Brentford always give up a couple of big chances a game. So if Chris Wood is at the end of one of those, it's not a bad pick at all. And I think one thing I would say for their defense, so in response to your stat, I mean, if you look at the teams they've played in the last six, right? They've played Spurs away, Villa away, Ipswich away, okay, is not the hardest. But then they've played Man City at home, Man United at home, and Arsenal home was just before that as well. In that period, they shut out Arsenal, they shut out Man City, they shut out Man United, and Everton was inch close to basically keeping a clean sheet as well. So at home, they have been absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. Yes, the data is declining, but I certainly won't be going for a Brentford attacker just because it's a free hit. And why should I, if non-free hitters are also going for it? So I just think, you know, I won't be getting a Nottingham Forest defender on my free hit, but I also won't be getting an attacker playing them. That's just where I am at the moment.
Yeah. No, that seems reasonable. Those are all the feels like the main games for this weekend, unless there was anything on Spurs you particularly wanted to talk about. But as I say, because of their Europa League semi-final against Bodo Glimt later on in game week 34, it feels like they're not top priority for us at the moment.
Absolutely. No, nothing else to add. And, you know, just to say that, you know, we're going back, you know, going into a blank game week coming on the back of two double game weeks. So this is a little bit of a different landscape for FPL managers. So most managers that I've seen around, you know, speaking to them, a lot of them are on free hit. If you're not on a free hit, we talked about a lot of picks that have good fixtures in 34 and beyond. So look at that. You know, when we say long-term picks, it's not very long to go now. It's only 5 game weeks. But yeah, it's about navigating this game week as well as you can if you're not on a free hit. And on a free hit, it should be about your goals, right? If you're trying to catch somebody, as Harry mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, there's about 40, 45 good picks. So, you know, you can differentiate if you want to, and free hit is the best way to do that.
Yeah, and Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday with the main pod where they will be talking specifically about game week 34. I'm sure they'll have free hit drafts to go on that pod as well if you are interested in that. And whether you're playing a chip or not, though, they will have stuff for you.
And if you haven't already, join the FPL Pod Mini League. It's coming to the end of the season, so you really should be doing that. The code is Q7YCO0. I'll repeat that, Q7YCO0. Lovely to chat with you, Harry.
Yeah, it was nice to have our first pod, Praz. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Yep, look forward to it.